Life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
I wonder if you have anyone in your close association, maybe a family member, maybe someone who is a neighbour, someone that you have known as a colleague from work, who's found their way somehow into prison. And that somehow is probably because they committed a crime and there are consequences for committing crimes. Of course, one of the consequences of the consequence is that families and children of prisoners are often left isolated and in very challenging circumstances. A chance today to talk through some of those ways in which Christians can help to alleviate some of the pain and some of the isolation that happens when there is a loved one in jail. Helen Glanville is chief executive of a ministry called Second Chances SA. It's a ministry that works in Adelaide and in South Australia. And Helen joining us now. Hello, Helen. Welcome along to 2020.
Hey, how you going?
I'm really good, Helen. And, you know, I think you guys are doing a fabulous work there in South Australia. Tell me about Second Chances SA. What's your primary focus?
Well, it's twofold. It's the families. Firstly, the offender who's in prison. And we have 13 in-prison volunteers who visit across 8 prisons each week. But they too have families, and they can involve children, mothers, grandmothers, a whole range of composites of family members who's suffering and who are really doing time themselves.
Helen, what's the difference between your visiting people and what we might think of as a prison chaplain, or are they doing that chaplaincy work?
Oh, well, actually, we don't want to be chaplains. Chaplains are sent by their, and I emphasise the word sent, by their particular denomination, and they wave the flag for that denomination, whereas we know we're called, and we're just kingdom people. So we're not, haven't got that label. We don't have a particular flag to fly in Christendom, so to speak, because a lot of people in prison are completely unchurched. And they really don't have a clue much. In fact, Jesus is their favourite swear word. So really, we prefer just to be Christians and come alongside them and do 90% listening. And not necessarily represent any particular church, but just Jesus.
Okay, well, Jesus had some things to say about prisoners. And when he talked about visiting the prisoner and feeding the hungry and welcoming the stranger, he said, if you do these things to the least of my brethren, you've done these things to me. Does that apply in the context that you're working in?
Well, yeah. I mean, criminals, prostitutes, sinners, whoever. They're the ones that God has a big heart for, and most of these people have never heard the gospel. And as I said before, they just know Jesus only as a swear word. So it's important that we reach this unreached people group in our own country.
When you visit people already in prison, is that where you find out about the needs that they have for their immediate family? Maybe it's a wife or a husband or a partner and then their children?
That's right. Well, we provide several services. One of them is birthday presents. And you may not appreciate, but when you go to prison, everything about your choices and your capacity to make decisions regarding your everyday business is completely removed from you. Unless someone, a member of the family or a friend on the outside actually puts money in your bank account, you don't even have any money there to ring your wife, girlfriend, or any family member. So you're completely stripped of all things that we take for granted. So one thing a prisoner can do if he or she has children, is make a request, complete a request form, which they can get from the social worker or one of our volunteers, and that comes to us, and then we deliver a birthday present to their child, which is really saying to the child, I haven't forgotten you, and you are of worth, you know. And we like to underpin that for children too, because they need to know that they're accepted, they belong, and they're of value.
I would assume that the majority of people who've been convicted of a crime and then imprisoned never think of what consequences might come to their immediate family, their immediate loved ones. What's going on inside the head of a prisoner who realises that perhaps now for many years they might not be able to do those things that express the sort of love that they would like to express?
Well, that's a pretty complicated question, because you've used some words there that have different meaning for different people. For example, a lot of the people in prison have actually come from homes themselves as children where their father was in prison. And so the love that we in our middle classness take for granted, for them in many situations is quite toxic. And so many people in prison have in fact been prisoners' kids themselves. And so what's going on inside of the mind of a prisoner? Well, you and I might have some semblance of education, and we have already planned our tomorrow and maybe already planned our next week and planned next year, our vacation, for example. But a lot of these people haven't planned their next week or their tomorrow, and hence often why they're in prison. And many of the minds of prisoners have in fact been damaged or at the point of where they broke the law. Their capacity to make good decisions was removed from them, because 80% of all crime is drug and alcohol related.
Okay, and you mentioned that where you've got some prisoners who've come from the sort of family background where their own father was imprisoned. What does that say for the next generation, the children of that prisoner? What does it say is the likely outcomes of that next generation if someone doesn't take up the opportunity that's there to embrace and to care for those families?
Well, the children of prisoners who we call PKs, never get that confused with pastors' kids or preachers' kids. We call them prisoners' kids, so we call them PKs. They're seven times more likely to go to prison than any other child in the community.
So seven times more likely to be imprisoned themselves. So unless there's some sort of intervention, sometimes we think of government intervention and you hope that some sort of public servant somewhere is going to jump in there and fix the problem. But that, of course, we know doesn't work. What it needs is someone with a compassionate heart that comes and is part of an intervention. Do you call it intervention? What do you call it when you're supporting those PKs, those prisoners' kids?
We call it early intervention, crime prevention. And the reason we do that, I mentioned happy birthdays or birthday presents. That's only one of the various services that we provide to a prisoner that helps them connect to their child and that brings them, stops them from truanting, for example. Let me go back to a statement about, you mentioned public servants. The reality in Australia is that there is no government which has any record of who PKs are or where they live, whether it's federal, whether it's state or local government. Nobody is keeping a record of who they are. And yet they are the most vulnerable, the most at-risk children, and probably many of them will go down the same path as dad or their grandfather. We're talking in some cases here of the third generation already. And in some suburbs, it's actually a badge of honour to go to prison because dad and granddad went there. So it's a pretty serious situation. That is why we're now working in our third year of what's called a PK family care team. We were successful to win some funding from state government here in South Australia for a little unit of four staff, one full-time, the other three are part-time staff. They're social workers, they're Christians who make family home visits and put a big emphasis and focus on the actual child. So we run camps for prisoners' kids. We actually conduct eight camps a year. There are 60 camping opportunities, and so those girls go and make family visits and visit the kids in their home and encourage them and try and keep them back on school if they see they need school uniforms or shoes, because, you know, kids grow pretty fast and single mums can't necessarily keep up with the cost. We see what we can do to keep these kids in school. And sometimes it's the school chaplain who notifies us that Johnny's got a bit of a behavioural problem and his dad just went into prison. can you come alongside this kid and help us? So that's the sort of work that we do that's extremely practical and helpful, especially for these children, because we believe that they can make good choices of their own.
Helen Glanville is our guest. She is Chief Executive for Second Chances SA. Back with more in just a short while. We're talking about a unique ministry that's happening in South Australia. It's called Second Chances SA, and caring for prisoners and their families, providing both practical and social support. Helen Glanville is Chief Executive for Second Chances SA. Helen, let me ask you about the heart of the volunteer that goes in and supports prisoners in a prison. People listening to our conversation now thinking, perhaps I could do something in that area. What sort of people are you looking for?
Well, we like fat people. Fat people means that they're faithful, available and teachable. And we prefer them to have a little bit of life's experiences. We like mature men who are semi-retired, maybe fully retired, who've got some time on their hands and can commit half a day or a day a week, and they go in and they respond to a written request. A prisoner requests to see us. And they might have a problem with their lawyer, a problem with banking, or a practical problem, storing of their mobile phone or their property or whatever. And they just want someone from the outside to listen. And that requires a certain person, someone of wisdom and maturity and prepared to listen. Because if a prisoner begins to trust someone, a stranger from the community, they will reveal their story. And some of those stories are very, very sad. But it does require someone with love and patience and kindness to just almost, in some ways, especially guys, we need father figures. A lot of the guys in prison haven't had a good, positive male role model in their life.
Okay, fat people, faithful, available and teachable. That's a great way to think about the character of the sort of person that is needed there to almost be a father figure to prisoners. The other sort of volunteer that you work with is that person who's like a children's mentor. What is their makeup? What sort of person makes a good children's mentor?
Well, the PK mentoring camps, we have 8 of those every year, and we require quite a high ratio of leaders to camper. Those leaders are selected, trained and vetted through police checking, of course, and are taught things like mandatory reporting. But the training is given by Scripture Union SA for the 2 primary age camps, and also for the teen girls camps. So we don't go out and reinvent the wheel. There are Christian ministries who are already doing good work in that whole area of camping. But we need, I think the ratio for one child, it's 2 children, 2 campers to 1 leader. So some of these kids, as you can imagine, from the years of 8 to 12 are quite high maintenance. And that's why we need a considerable ratio of leaders to campers. And then when it gets to the teenagers and the junior teenagers for boys and senior teenagers for boys, the ratio is actually 1-on-1. So whether they're going kayaking or caving or abseiling or BMX biking, whatever physical yakka they're up to, they need both the physical young person willing to go down in the cave with them, and also willing to be their friend and be someone who speaks positively into their life. So really, in effect, a camping scenario is an opportunity, a space where these kids can leave their home and come into our space. And we can listen to them, but we can also share positive values of respect and trust and teamwork. And we can talk to them about the way they speak, even the way they speak to themselves. We in our middle classness just presume that mum and dad teach their child to have respect for authority and to tell the truth and all those great Australian values. And that can be whether it's a Christian home or a non-Christian home. There are mums, plenty of Australian mums and dads that are telling their kids to respect authority and tell the truth. But in the families of these kids, invariably, they're actually taught to lie. They're taught to shoplift. they're actually, by example, taught to disrespect the police, disrespect teachers, you know, older people. They don't count, it doesn't matter. It's all about me. And what's typical and rife through this community of families is narcissistic thinking. And it's all about me, 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 me. And that's often why these people do actually end up in trouble. But these children under the one roof are hearing language, are seeing things, and in fact the associates, the friends of their mum and dad, can be quite slippery, so to speak, and toxic, and not having a positive impact on the development and the thinking of the child. So to come into our camp and our space and show them another way, show them positive mentors who care about their future, care about how they think and help them plan and see a vision for their life that doesn't necessarily have to be the same pathway as mum or dad.
And I guess you've got to have that string to your character bow too that says when you turn up to be a mentor to these kids, you can't expect them all to be angels. You're going to have a level of tolerance and a level of stickability, because you don't want people who are just, hit and run type, you know, I'll give it a go and if it works, this is okay. You need friends for these kids that are going to stick by them through their growing years.
And believe in them and see the best in them. Yeah, so it's not a Sunday school picnic, that's for sure.
Okay. Now, people making contact with you and being part of the program that you've got running there with Second Chances SA, is it as easy as going to your website? Is there a link there where people can actually make contact and perhaps get involved?
That's right. We've actually got a little section on our website called Get Involved. And right there is a volunteer application form and they can fill it in, tell us a little bit about themselves. That can be emailed to us. We'll make contact with them. We'll find out what it is about their gifting and their talent and that they feel called or led to have a conversation, start a conversation with us, because there are many ways people can volunteer with us. It's not just in the prisons. Frontline in prison work is pretty special and not for the faint-hearted. But then we also have an op shop and a furniture warehouse. So people who don't necessarily want to be a leader on a camp or even visit prisoners, they can actually consider working at our op shop or our furniture warehouse and driving our truck and picking up donations and delivering, because we also provide a whole house full of furniture for anyone just coming out of prison for a package of just $250. So many times down here in South Australia, the Housing Trust or other housing, community housing, provide homes, but not necessarily are they furnished. And it's nothing worse to come out to an empty home on your first night out of prison. So we help set them up. And that can involve a kitchen package, you know, cutlery, crockery, all that you need just to get through your first few nights, and especially a bed. So it's helpful to have a bed when you first get out of prison. And we do those sort of practical things that just help them get re-established. And the more support you can give to someone coming back into the community, the less likely they are to go back with their old friends and go back into crime.
Well, Helen, you are doing an amazing job, and I want to honour you for the good work that you're doing there in South Australia. Are there equivalent prison ministries around the other states that you are able to identify? Do you connect with those? If someone was to make contact with you from another state, have you got someone to refer them on to?
Yeah, look, there's various ministries in each state, and they do vary as to what they actually do. So it varies from state to state, as does the prison system vary from state to state. This country doesn't have a federal prison system. So, I think it's just a matter of them giving us a call and we'll have a chat, see where they live and see where they are and work it out from there.
Okay, well, first contact is going to be online. This is the website for Second Chances SA. It's secondchances.org.au. And Helen Glanville is the Chief Executive of Second Chances SA. Helen, great talking to you. Thanks so much for being with us on 2020.
Thank you too.
Before you go, thanks for listening.
There's lots more great audio on demand, or you can listen to us live at visionradio.org.au.
And remember, Vision is listener supported. Your donation,
large or small,
will help us continue connecting faith to life for hundreds of thousands of people across Australia and around the world.
Learn more or donate today at visionradio.org.au.